Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. This is Ashwini and I am here with Jen, and who's here to tell us about the Bridge Walk campaign. Good afternoon, Jen.
Sorry, I was double muted. Good afternoon, Ashwini.
I'm so glad you're on.
Me too. Well, yeah, me too. So excited.
Okay, well, let's launch right into it because I know we've got a lot to talk about.
We have a lot
and
of ground
only
to
10
cover.
Minutes to do it. So why don't we start off with the theme of the campaign? What is the theme this year and how did we come up with it?
Thank you. So, you know, one of the things I love, I feel like is a great gift of the Bridgewalk season, is that, you know, those of us who have the great good fortune of being involved in kind of the day-to-day operations of the project have a chance to stop and look at everything that's happened over the last year and to really get a sense of the themes that are emerging. And so as Teresa and I were starting that process several weeks ago, she got so lit up as she was talking about one of the pilot projects that's been happening, where these five first grade girls who are enrolled in an all English primary school. And of course, they're tiny, right? They're young. And so they're just absorbing the language and they're quickly becoming fluent. And she said, you know, this is the first, this is an emotional piece for me every time I think about it. She said, this is the first group of students, Jen, in Living Compassion, for whom English will not be a stumbling block in their education. That really, along with Bemba, English is going to be a first language for these girls. And she was talking about how huge that is, and she told me this lovely story that happened recently where, so when the girls are not in school, when school's on holiday, they're at the Living Compassion property all day. And she was watching one of these little first graders who's in the pilot program playing with a bunch of her other friends, most of whom are not in this pilot program. And she said, she reached over to her friend in just this very gentle, sweet way, and she said, English, let's practice our English. Mm. And Teresa said she just got it in that moment, how huge this is, not just for this group of girls, but in general. And it was so lovely as I was facilitating her around that, she stopped at one point and she said, you know, Jen, we have a Bemba saying for that. Imiti ikula mbanga, meaning these little trees are becoming a forest. Mm-hmm. And we both sort of gasped because I think in that moment we got it, that life had just offered us the theme of the Bridgewalk for this year, these little trees are becoming a forest.
Mm-hmm. So lovely in that it's so our experience and practice that life offers what we need in the moment, right?
Yes.
In terms of how the Bridgewalk theme came together, because I know, since you and I have been talking about it for a while, how we've been playing with the focus for almost a couple of months, and then to have this conversation with Teresa, and for that to grow out of the conversation and out of the life on the property, to me, that is sort of emblematic of the whole project. Right? There's nothing we go there and say we need to do. It all arises. And if we're paying attention, then it drops in that that's what we need to do, that the community there is always providing the impetus for what is next.
Yes. And you know, the thing that's such an amazing thing about the moment in time I feel like we're in right now with the project is that as she and I continued that conversation, the image of the giant bamboo came up, which for folks who aren't familiar with that, it's that evidently when you plant a giant bamboo and then you water it and nurture it for 5 years, and it seems like nothing's happening. And after 5 years, the bamboo begins to grow so quickly and so strongly because, of course, what's happened over those 5 years is that these incredibly strong roots have taken hold. And that came up, after looking at these five little girls as an example, all of the things that have happened in order to bring us to that place. I mean, to be looking at quality education, to be at that point, all these things had to happen, right? We had to tackle endemic malnutrition, a lack of clean water, you know, children dying of dysentery, no safe housing, you know, zero value on educating girls, you know, parents with no income, so many things that have had to be tackled. And now all of those things are in place. And so from these strong roots, there's all of this space for these new shoots to grow. And it's not just with these five girls in the English program. We're seeing it all over the place in the project where all of these amazing new shoots are growing from these strong roots. And so that's what we're going to be celebrating and focusing on for these next few months of the Bridgewalk season, is to bring those stories to people.
Mm-hmm. Well, I heard you say two things, right, Jen? One is because you're celebrating five little girls who are going to first grade English. And you could ask the question, well, we could have done that 10 years ago, but we really couldn't have, you know?
No,
we always knew that English was important, and we've had that focus and that attempt to have everyone practice their English, but it's like it's swimming against the current on many
levels.
That's right. And so we had to start with, okay, first you eat, and then 10 years later, you can have first graders going to an English-speaking school because, A, we've taken care of so many things, and, B, it's arising from the roots, from the seeds that were planted. It's not something that we're attempting to impose. It's time for that. And I think that's the theme of the whole campaign, that what we're highlighting through this campaign is all of these things, because the roots are strong, what are all the shoots that we never expected that are organically growing from the investment that the Sangha has made in this project, right? So it's almost as if all of the generosity is starting to produce this fabulous outgrowth of things that are so totally unexpected, and now we can start to cultivate. And that's sort of the language of the project itself. And I know you're going to tell us how Sangha can participate, but if I may take a moment to, maybe you will be able to tell us. So tell us a little bit about the elements of the campaign, and then tell us how Sangha can participate.
Okay. I'm interested in what you're seeing, but I know you won't forget it, right?
No.
Okay, good. That's my second favorite thing about the Bridgewalk season, is that it really is the most tangible time of year, at least for me, that we get to come together as Sangha and to really experience the transformation in such a beautiful, tangible way. So the elements of the campaign are, as we did last year, we'll have a lot of support because last year was the first year we created that very ambitious goal for ourselves because we needed to. We needed that $100,000 that we raised last year. We needed to raise that during Bridgewalk season, aside from, you know, monthly donations, aside from to anything else. Yeah, was there more, Ashwin?
Oh, no.
I thought you had something about that. So just that place of, it was really ambitious, and I'll tell you, you know, as we were putting it together last year, there was a sense of, okay, well, let's go for it. We need to do this. Let's figure life will provide. We're not really sure how that will happen, and it happened. I mean, Sangha stepped up, and we did it, and we need to do it again this year. The goal is $110,000, and one of the things we want to do with that is we have a goal to have 100% participation with the Sangha, to have everyone. And we can talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But so one of the elements will be that we have support calls where we have not only technical support, you know, kind of walking folks through if you want to make a fundraising page, how to do that, the technology of that. But really, I think the biggest component of that is coming together to hold hands, to go up against the voices that would not want us to do it, or that feels like that's not me, I don't know how to, I don't want to. You know, whatever it is that we come up against, which, of course, is going to show up in other areas of our lives. So this makes this such a golden opportunity to come together to go up against that. That's what those support calls are going to be, to really hear the inspiration from other people, get ideas, you know, go beyond that resistance and get support for doing that.
So support calls, meaning that we never do anything, we don't ever do anything by ourselves, and we never do it with ego, so we all get together. And the support calls are for technical support, for as you said, for moral support, right? That we're all doing this mm-hmm. together, going up against the voices. So let's say spiritual support. But I think the third element that was so fun last year was also our fund is so creative. Everybody yeah. has an idea, and then sharing yes. that idea and everyone else sort of co-opting it and growing mm-hmm. it. And it's so a calendar of support calls. I think we're publishing that on the website, and the first support call will be this Saturday, right, at 10 o'clock
yes.
Pacific time.
Yes, at 10 o'clock, so. Yes. There has been some information that's gone out about that call coming up on Saturday, and there's going to be another email with further information, how to get on the web if you want to do it that way, you know, all the different things about that. There'll be an email going out about that tomorrow.
Okay.
And then another really fun piece this year is that goes so perfectly with the theme, which is that a number of stewards in practice, you know, people who have really strong roots in their own practice, from those strong roots are going to be offering practice things, you know, maybe a day workshop, coaching kinds of things, different practice offerings, and all of the proceeds of those will be going directly to the Bridgewalk campaign. And so mm-hmm. we'll be unfolding that as the campaign goes further and giving people, you know, the opportunity to participate in that way. So registering for one of those events will be a way that folks could participate in the campaign.
And you know, Jen, let me just say why we thought about that. That's sort of the brand new twist on the campaign this year, right? Because we've got people who are very, very seasoned fundraisers. They've done this before and they can participate. And then there are people who donate, right? Very, very generously, their donations and, right? And this thing about offering practice offerings like group coaching and workshops, Sherry's going to do a few, you're going to do some, I'm going to do some, and possibly focused in the last month of the campaign. So it's like one of those bike-a-thons or marathons, right? How many practice opportunities can you fit into your month? And as a consequence of which you will be fundraising for the program. It's such a beautiful way to do it. And so I think if you look at December and January, there will be a large number of practice offerings. And if you don't want to fundraise, if you feel like you don't want to take that on, then participating in deepening your practice directly contributes to the fundraising for the camp, for the project. And so that's just, I mean, and not only can you do it, you can invite other people to do it, because sometimes making a donation is not what you want to do. But your participation translates into a donation.
That's right. And which speaks to that, you know, really looking to get 100% of the Sangha involved, because, you know, really those roots that we're talking about in Cantalamba are our roots, right? The entire Sangha, regardless of whatever type of participation you've had in Sangha, those are our roots. That's the legacy of the transformation mm-hmm. from all of us. That's how all of that mm-hmm. has happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know we're at the top of the hour, Jen, but I think we could go a little bit longer to explain. Did you have something else about the elements of the campaign, or I can say what I was thinking about?
No, please say. Yeah, please say.
Well, only, of course, right, that a big part of this campaign is it's really the information that we provide about the project and the campaign. And so mm-hmm. there's a beautiful website. These little trees are becoming a forest that explains the campaign elements that you can get to from the Africa website. If you go to the main site, the main Africa website, and click on 2019 Bridgewalk campaign, you'll see the page.
Which is under the Get Involved tab.
Yeah. Tab. Mm-hmm. And we'll probably be able to give you a shorter URL to get to it. Mm-hmm. But that explains the entire campaign. You'll see where the calendar of support calls, the calendar of practice offerings will be coming up on that. But the really cool part of that is it's also a series of stories. And so every other week of the campaign, mm-hmm. there will be a story mm-hmm. highlighting one of the elements that are the shoots that are growing up. Right, so I think the first story is live, and people mm-hmm. can engage with the campaign by coming back to those stories. And then, of course, it leads to our fundraising platform that allows you to fundraise from there. You create your own pages, make the donations, use social media to invite your friends and family, and then, of course, all of the emails that will go out telling us how the campaign is unfolding and how what progress we're making on it.
And we're using the same platform for that we used last year. So people who used it last year will be hopefully somewhat familiar with the functionality. And that's what we'll be walking through also on the support calls, especially these early support calls like Saturday. Any questions people have about how to do that? And we use that platform because it just makes it really easy. It's familiar to people who, you know, to friends and family and that sort of thing who are used to using social media. So that's why we use that platform. And I will tell you this super briefly.
The e-card functionality, once again, which was so popular last year, is back. And so we practiced with it once, and so we're well-trained.
Exactly. I said that. I do want to underline that the e-card functionality, I know that's the one that really caught on in my family last holiday season. I think it was around Thanksgiving. People just started trading. You know, everyone was giving e-cards in everyone's name. And it's just a really fun way to support the project, especially for folks mm-hmm. where you're not sure, gosh, I don't know what to give to this person. They don't really want anything. Mm-hmm. They don't really need anything. This is a fabulous gift. So yes, that's there. And the thing that I was going to say super quickly is that I got to talk with Teresa and the team this morning, and she had five of the girls with her. And I got to share my screen with them and show them the website page. And it was such a moment. They were so excited.
And of course, this isn't fully baked, and the campaign is still unfolding. But I think once again, we have the opportunity to have a direct contact with the project in Africa, and we're just working out the details of that.
The details for that.
And I think that's the fun part of this campaign, where part of the way in which Fungus can engage is that each different aspects of the campaign are going to be revealed as the campaign unfolds, rather than a launch of all of the functionality at the beginning of the campaign. And so that's just it's just inviting engagement, right? So what's the story of the week, and what's the practice offering of the week, and what's the support call of the week, and when's the meeting with the people in Africa going to happen? And so there's a curiosity of engagement, because participation is what it's all about.
Yeah. It's so perfect, Ashwani, isn't it? This little campaign is becoming a forest, right? As we all join in.
As we all grow. All the way to $110,000.
Truly. There's the forest. And just really briefly, I don't know if you would echo this, but I feel like the way the design came together and our designer working with us and how that, you know, I mean, that just came right down to the wire, and boy, did it come together beautifully. It is stunning. Mm-hmm. So I hope people will go to that page.
Well, and I think just to close out before we hand the show over to Sherry and Michael, that there is a way in which the goal is ambitious, right? But I think that's the reason for that is that there's a way in which we used to focus just on nutrition, and making sure that 1,000 kids could eat 7 days a week and these 40 cooperative members could support the project and the space. But these shoots that we're talking about, right, skills program, kids going to college, kids going to training school, little kids going to charter schools and English-speaking programs, that's going from nutrition to education, which is so much more expensive than you're looking at some of the project costs that are revealed on the website, right? $25 feeds a kid for 10 months or something, whatever it is it seems so minuscule, but it actually reflects that nutrition as a focus is a very different financial denomination than education as a focus. And so if we continue these pilot programs and want to expand, the focus of the project is shifting. So the shoots that we're trying to invest for have a different financial denomination, and the economic conditions in Zambia, the dollar doesn't go as far, right? And so there's a way in which that's part of the program, educating for the difference in what it is that we're supporting, and trying to come up with ways to engage the Sangha to think bigger in that way, because it's not just feeding kids anymore. And that just has you know, quotation marks around it, because it's the most important thing we do. But it's also because we're expanding in a way that we won't be able to sustain if there's not the generosity to sustain it.
Yeah, yeah. And what we know in practice is that when we're invited to get bigger in that way, we're the greatest beneficiaries.
Yeah, because we have to dig deep, and anything that stands in the way has to go, right?
That's right.
The bag, the elasticity of our hearts is what increases.
Oh, God. We could go on and on, Ashwani. Thank you so much.
I know.
Oh.
Well, thank you, and we will, and so on future Good News updates. So
exactly. We'll be in touch the next three months. We're on a beautiful adventure together. Yeah.
Yes,
thank you so much.
So thank you, Jen. Thanks for everything.
Okay.
And thank you, Bob, for getting us the technology.
Oh, thank you, Bob. Deep Gesho to Bob.
Couldn't ever do anything without him. So Deep Gesho, Bob.
We won't ever try.
We won't try. That's right.
Okay. Thanks,
Ashwini.
All right.
Thanks, Jen.
Bye-bye.
And Michael, turning over the show to you and Jay.
Wonderful. Thank you, Ashwini. And thank you, Jen. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. I want to tell you that I actually texted a little message to Ashwini and said, if you gals go over, it's fine. You'll be fine with that, because I know Michael is there hanging on every word, and so am I, and we hope that the rest of Sangha is too, because this is we have a few party times in our Sangha, and this is one of them. This is big party time for us. So.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. It was a fabulous conversation. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna go to the website. I'm gonna
restrain myself while you're on the show, right? Restraint and religious observances. Okay, all right, right until 6 o'clock, and then hit that button. So I was thinking about a couple of things, Michael, as I was listening to them talk. One of them was when Jen said, I was talking with Teresa this morning. She had five of the girls there, and I shared my screen with them. I mean, I went back to what it was like attempting to communicate. Now, I know you were a part of this when we would get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, right? In order to communicate via open air back to the United States, right? And some of the things we went through trying to be able to communicate. And now, there's Jen and this little, wide spot on a dirt road in Murphy's, California, and they are over there in a similar state. In Cantalomba, and technology is enabling that level of relationship. It's mind-boggling, right? And then the other one was when Ashwini was talking about the difference between feeding these kids and educating them, and I thought, anybody who's raised children knows the difference between the expense of feeding a little kid and then feeding a big kid and then sending a big kid to school, right? People start saving when the baby is born for the college education, right? So it's just there it is. And we're doing this with, potentially a 1,000-plus kids. it's crazy. And yet, it's working for all of the reasons that Jen and Ashwini laid out, mostly that Sangha is open-hearted and creative and generous and kind and makes it happen.
Yes, yes, yes. And I did take a little peek at the website, and it is gorgeous, as I expected. And I love that new offering this year of the practice opportunities. The funds from that will go to support the project. That's great.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that is just such a win in every direction, right? We love to do practice. We all love to do practice. And so the money that goes to the practice offerings goes to support practice. And this is one of the things that practice is doing. And so, yeah, it works out really well.
Yes.
And the monks will still eat, okay? Everybody at the monastery will still eat. We're not going to, you know, cut back on their rations just because the money is going to Cantalamba. So,
we don't live in deprivation.
No, we don't. We can do anything. And this is one of the ways that we prove it to ourselves. Right?
Yes.
We just, and of course, the main point that that Jed and Ashwini were making with the support of all of us doing it together is that for a lot of folks, this is scary stuff. You know, doing fundraising, asking friends and relatives to support something that's important to you, that can feel very vulnerable. And getting past those negative voices so that we, you know, that other retreat that I do, going beyond fear, resistance, and limitations, that's the whole point of that. You know, getting to the place where those voices in our head that say, oh, no, you can't do that, or that's too hard, you don't know how to do that. Don't. You know, we're going past that. That's what awareness practice is. Because freedom is on the other side of all that nonsense. So all these things that we do in practice have the same point, and that is to get past that the negativity of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate and into freedom. It's just another one.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And plus we have those adorable little kids who get to eat and have a life, and that's a really big plus.
Yes, it is. And I have announcements here.
All right.
Step away from the pressures of day-to-day living and immerse yourself in a monastic community completely focused on waking up at the Your Practice Retreat, October 23rd through 30th at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California. This retreat offers individualized support with what you choose as your practice focus for the week.
Mm-hmm.
In November, you, Sherry, will lead an email class exploration of how to alleviate stress through communication in challenging situations. The class will use the Enneagram to look at the causes of and behaviors around stress and how to use communication to get back to the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
And coming up
just
in December,
just in time for the holidays. I've heard that's a little stressful sometimes.
I've heard that. Yes. I didn't put the timing of that together until you mentioned that. So that's good.
Mhm. Mhm.
Mhm. And coming up in December, Sangha will have an opportunity to celebrate this year and welcome a new one with a community of people dedicated to practicing conscious, compassionate awareness. The New Year's Retreat, December 27th through January 1st in Menlo Park, California, features group discussions, guidance with you, Sherry, and free time to spend in nature on the beautiful, spacious grounds.
Mm-hmm. And yoga and good food and, oh, my gosh, it's just...
Yum, yum.
Mm-hmm. Yum, yum.
Yum, yeah, you're making me hungry now.
Right.
And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can press *6 and then 1 to make cash show and get in the queue, and conversation of about 5 minutes on one topic is fabulous.
Mm.
Okay, I think we're ready, Sherry.
We're ready to go? All right.
Here we go.
Thank you, Michael. All right.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Michael and Sherry. This is Patty from Vancouver.
Hello.
Hi, Patty.
Patty.
Oh, I knew I'd get on because ego was kept saying, oh, you don't have anything to say. You aren't going to go on that one. But I did.
Yeah. Why don't you just, yeah, just don't put yourself on mute. Get out of the queue. Yeah, don't, yeah.
I'm getting on
I don't
to
think so.
Ego about all that.
Oh,
I'm catching on.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's freedom, isn't it? Yeah,
is.
That is such freedom. Yeah, voices.
Yeah, so
them, not us.
I had a real good success story not listening to ego and just taking action last Friday. My focus for the this month's the morning show is to do it, like political action, which I've never done. And so, you know, it's kind of like new territory. And I committed to go on this climate emergency walk in Vancouver with my yoga sangha. And I got up that morning and it was really windy. And the forecast was for rain, and so, of course, the ego's right in there, you know, saying, no,
no,
don't do this,
oh,
don't do this.
Oh, my gosh. You'll get wet.
Exactly. And I was driving over to the studio to meet with them and meditate, and then we were going to head down. And ego's going, well, why didn't you just ride your bike over there by yourself? You know, you don't need to go all this way over here and go with other people. And I just didn't listen to
wow.
it. You know?
Wow. Yeah. So you shouldn't go because the weather is so awful. But if you are going to go, you should go on your bike by yourself.
Right.
You know, the thing we can know is it's not, it doesn't think things through. It's not clever. Right? It's just negative.
Yeah. Well, and trying to undermine my confidence in taking a step.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And the greatest part of it was when I got with a lot of these young people and, well, young and old and, you know, just being really present, being there and just so energized because I aligned to the values of what I'd like to see in the world, and with all these other people feeling connected, it was really, really exciting and enjoyable.
Yes.
And
yes.
So I'm
yes.
finding more
which
and
Patty,
more.
Which Patty, you are not supposed to notice, because if you notice things like that, you're going to be less inclined to stay home on the couch with ego.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm
that's
on.
What
I'm
that's what we're
going to
lose. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
And of course,
you
ego's
are.
Now got a story going about I'm coming to the monastery on Monday, and you know, I haven't done enough, you know, to before I come there. On all
uh-huh.
kinds of areas, you know, and homework and reading the book again and, you know, more recording and listening. And, you know, I need to be prepared to come on retreat.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You
yeah.
need to be worthy, if nothing
right.
else.
Right.
You need to be the right person.
Right.
Before you come and find out there's nothing wrong with you. You need to be.
Oh,
it's funny,
yeah.
isn't it? And,
it is.
And it's. It's so clear once we see it why we in this practice we beat so incessantly on that drum of you've got to get out of the conversation in your head.
Yeah.
And of course what you're pointing at is the step that we've all got to take is I've got to know it's going on.
Yeah.
Right? That's the right? I've got to be paying attention enough to hear it. To see it, to know that it's going on, so that I can say thanks. That I'm not listening to that. I'm not doing
yeah,
that. I'm not,
yeah. And yeah. and that whole thing about just drop it, come back to what I love, what you know, what I'm feeling in this moment. Just, you know, practicing that over and over.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because here is your sangha.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That voice in your head is not your sangha.
Right.
Yeah, it's just not. That's not, and that, those are not the people you want to be with.
Right. And the thing that I really noticed in this walk was how my energy was there. You know, the energy was up. So I'm also watching that too, when energy's low, when energy's up.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And we could say, of course, that it comes down to when you're here and when you're with ego.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And when you're in that energy, which is why, of course, the Buddha pointed out that Sangha is critical for us.
Yeah.
Because when you're with like-minded, like-hearted people, you want to be present. And you are. As soon as we get alone with ego, the energy starts tanking. We're not happy. We're vulnerable to messages of there's something wrong with you. You're doing it wrong. You're the wrong person. As soon as we buy into that, those voices have an endless list of things to tell us or what's wrong with us. And so we just, we need to constantly be making the choice to be here and to be with people who are here and in situations that is, well, however we go with that, but here.
Yeah, and I mean, it's nonstop. I mean, after having a really energetic time, well, here comes ego again about expectations and standards and, you know, you just have to watch that too, just continuously.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, because so you've been in this situation with these people and it's been so great. You've got all this energy going. And who's going to be right there to try to suck up that energy, right?
Yeah.
So then you get the review on the way home, or you get the, well, but you didn't get that done because you were off doing that other thing, and now you're going to be away? Now you're going to be traveling? And what about that? And what about that? And what about that?
And what about the results for climate change? I mean, like, this has to happen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and let's be sure and identify the people that we need to hate because they're causing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's very helpful to see it all, isn't it? Because
it is.
When we see it, we're increasingly less likely to get trapped by it.
Yep. Yep. I feel good about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just trying to stay
me
present.
Too.
Yeah.
Yep. That's our job.
Yeah.
All right. Well, see you soon.
Okay. Thanks again.
Travel safely.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Patty. Sherry, what dropped in for me during that call is the importance of showing up, continuing to practice, staying engaged, participating. We always say it.
Yeah.
And we always say it because it's important.
Yeah, because it's true. And because, you know, it's the only thing that is true. It really is. It doesn't matter where we go or what we do. We have to have our attention on this here now. We have to. If we don't, we're in ego land, and that is the land of suffering. It's really very straightforward.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And Sherry, we are going to hear from our Zen Awareness Coaching Program, and then we'll come back and talk with more lovely callers.
All right.
Build compassionate discipline into your life with Zen Awareness Coaching. Weekly calls and email check-ins provide support and accountability for waking up and ending suffering. Coaching assists us to recognize conditioned patterns and direct attention to what we want for our lives instead. If you have ever attended a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, Zen Awareness Coaching is for you. To request a coach, email zenawarenesscoach@livingcompassion.com. www.zenawarenesscoach.org. Get a Zen Awareness Coach and choose to make a change for good for your practice and your life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yes. Hi.
Hello.
My name's Susan.
Hi, Susan.
Hi. I called last week for the first time, and I thought I'd call again because I felt so supportive last week, and oh, boy, I'm just having lots of voices in my head that are making it really hard for me. I have chronic fatigue syndrome, and I just got diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, so all these, you know, thoughts in my head are just,
I bet.
You know, really lots of fear thoughts, lots of I'll never get better, you know, all these,
And Susan, I'm sorry, but what was the first, what was the first one that you said?
Oh, chronic fatigue syndrome.
Ah, okay. And
I've had for the last 20 years. Yeah, and now they've recently diagnosed me with MS, which I thought, oh, that's what I've had the last 20 years. And they're like, no, this is something new. I'm like, oh. And so
it's kind of like
physically.
Well, maybe.
Sorry?
Maybe. You know, maybe that's true. Maybe not. Who knows?
Well, the doctors seem to think it's not.
Yes, I know. I'm just a little less in awe of their omniscience than some folks are.
Yeah. Well, who knows how long I've had it? That's certainly true, even though they might think it's a year or so, but they don't really know either for sure.
No, we don't know.
Yeah, no, we don't know. And I just have a lot of thoughts. So physically, I'm just not in very good shape. Because I'm just so exhausted and tired and weak and just have, I can still, you know, I can move my limbs and everything. And I'm just so exhausted and tired, and I know a lot of that could improve or that I could actually heal if I were in a place of calm and peacefulness and
support.
And a lot of these voices, and support, I think, from the outside, like with the Sangha, which I don't have.
I was thinking more inside.
Oh, I'm thinking of both, because
yes, it's a great 1-2 punch. But when we talk about support, you know, we're very conditioned to think that that needs to be outside, and then if we don't have that,
that's
then
true.
It seems like we don't have support. But really,
that's
the first
true.
Support
yeah.
that we need is the inside support, and then from there we can add external support. And so, do you have a practice, Susan?
I'm trying, but I'm having a very hard time.
Where do you live?
In Denver.
Oh, in Denver. Uh-huh. Okay.
And having a very hard time meditating. Last week I was told about the listening and recording. And
good.
I've tried
very
that
good,
out.
Very good.
But I've had a very hard time when I try to listen to it. It makes me feel more anxious, and I don't really know why.
I do.
I will talk into it, and that can be helpful sometimes, just talking into it. But the listening part, I have a real hard time. Yeah.
Yes. And you're not alone. This is one of those where everybody who practices is going, Yeah, that's true. I've never known anybody. Now, I've been doing this for a lot of decades, right? I've never met anyone who said, oh, yeah, I started meditating, and God, it was so easy. It was just great. It was like coming home. I've really never loved anything like I love that. Okay? Never, not one single person. What I have heard thousands and thousands and thousands of times is, you know, I can't do it. I just can't do it. The voices in my head are driving me crazy. You know, I would rather do the dishes than sit there. So that's more what it's like to try to start meditating. Okay. And so shall we tackle that one first?
Oh, yeah. So you're talking about the meditating, not also the... Yeah, at first I thought you were talking about the listening and recording at first.
We'll tackle that one second,
that's true. Meditating is also be anxious producing, and the listening to my recordings could also be anxious.
All of it, and so we can just cut to that if you want to. We can just cut to that. Because the anxiety, so the way we break things down, and I don't know if Ashwini talked with you about this last week, but the way we break things down is that there is life here, and that is what you are an expression of, and I am, and this jade plant that I'm looking at, and that bird on the fence, and all of us, okay? We are all expressions of the intelligence that animates, of the life. Okay, expressions of life. And we humans have an ability that nothing else in the universe has, and that is the ability to experience ourselves as separate. So we think we are separate from life. Have you ever had an animal?
Oh, yeah, that's a long time ago as a teenager.
Okay, dog, cat?
Cat,
okay. So you probably noticed that if you, no matter what you did, the cat didn't seem to take it personally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, it's obvious when we're around animals that they just don't take things personally. They don't think things are happening because of them. They don't think they're being rewarded, and they don't think they're being punished. Now, of course, with somebody like a dog, you can actually train a dog to be quite human in its reactions. But it takes a lot of training. It takes a lot of training to train us in that way, too. Okay? So we have the ability to experience ourselves as separate from life. And that separation we call ego. Okay? The mind, the conditioned mind, the thinking mind, this and that, and I think this, and I like that, and I don't like that, and I feel this way, and I don't want that, and I'm doing this, and I need to do that, and I shouldn't have done that, and if I'd only done that, okay, that voice, that conversation, we call ego. And that's what makes us appear to be separate from the rest of life, that conversation inside our head, okay? And that conversation in our head, that ego illusion, actually, once it takes over a person's head, really is difficult to dislodge. It likes living there. It likes being in charge. It likes actually having a human being that it can steer around. Now, some people say it actually believes that you are its human being, right? So your body is under its control, and it doesn't even think about. Okay, so it thinks it is you. Is all this hanging together?
Yeah.
Yeah. But the difference that we can quickly see in what you laid out is you want to meditate. It doesn't want you to. You want to record and listen. It doesn't want you to. You want to be present and relaxed and happy and comfortable. It doesn't want you to be. And the way we can prove that to ourselves is that whatever we try to do in those directions of being present and calm and here and all of that, a voice in our head is trying to make sure that doesn't happen. You with me?
Yeah. It actually says, how can it happen when you feel so lousy physically, if you're feeling so sick, so ill?
That's right.
How
and
are you
says,
supposed to feel happy or good or, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And Susan, if you listen to that sentence that you just said, you have all the proof you need. Because it says, how can you feel good when you feel so lousy? It is a separate conversation, a separate voice talking to you about you. It's not you.
Yeah.
And so whatever is going on, now you've had some challenges, okay? Let's say that. You know, these are big opportunities, right? And all of us in life, if we live long enough, sooner or later, we're going to have those because that's how life works. Okay, the Buddha talked about it as old age, sickness, and death. And I'm always fond of pointing out it doesn't necessarily come in that order. Okay, death is always last, but you can have a lot of sick before you get to old age.
Yeah.
Yeah? So it's just that is how life is. Life contains all those things. And we suffer when we're listening to a voice in our head compare what is to how it could be or should be. That's the price we pay for that ability to experience ourselves as separate from life. The cat doesn't do that. Okay, the cat can have terminal cancer and not blink an eye. You can even go up to the cat and say, you have terminal cancer. And the cat, if it likes you, will probably just purr at you. You with me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's what we're up against all the time, that we believe that we are separate from life and that these things that happen to us shouldn't be happening. And we believe that that voice talking to us inside our head, talking to us, about everyone else, about everything else, about everything, is real. And is true, and is telling the truth, and most deadly of all, is who we are. And it's not. How are you doing?
I do understand what you're saying.
You? Is it talking
to you now? Yeah, it kind of is. Yeah, it kind of is. It's just like, oh, gosh, how am I supposed to do this by myself? And
Well, the good news is you don't have to because you're not by yourself. Okay, that's part of the voice, right? That's what the voice really wants you actually to be by yourself because that means you'll be along with it. But you and I are talking. And there's a whole ton of people who are listening to our conversation. So we're not alone. In fact, we're actually never alone. Okay, even though those voices would like us to believe that we are, we're actually never alone. We are intimately and irrevocably is not the word I want, but it's the only one that's coming. We cannot be separate. It is not possible to be alone. Being alone is not a possibility in this universe. There may be a universe in which that is possible, but it's not this one. Okay? We are connected to everything that is. Okay? So the application of this, whether you are meditating or whether you are recording and listening, is that you, as you begin to practice awareness more consciously, you'll begin to watch that conversation in your head the way you just did. And you will begin to realize, Susan, that you are the awareness that is listening to and watching what's going on in your head. You're not saying it. You're not the author of it. You are aware of it. You with me?
Yeah.
You didn't sound convincing.
I'm getting there more. I'm getting
okay,
more.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good, good, good. That's very good. So let's just take it to, so you record, you know, and you can, well, of course, there's recordingandlistening.org, the website, okay, to go there and read all kinds of exercises and tips and fun things that people do and great ways to play with recording and listening. Don't ever, ever, ever record a negative or a self-hating voice. Ever, 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 okay? And so what you can record is what you're doing to take care of yourself, what you're seeing, you can record what your hopes and dreams are. You can record what you love, what you enjoy, what you appreciate, what you find beautiful. You can record songs that you like that are uplifting. You can listen to 108 years of open air archives that Michael and I have done. You can, okay, there's a ton of stuff that you can be listening to rather than the voices in your head. And when that anxiety arises, you just notice, huh, there's that. Well, this is a great opportunity to see what the experience actually is that I've labeled anxious. Now, what is that? Okay. And so you turn your attention to the sensations in your body, and you begin to realize that without labels, without a story, without any meaning attached to it, which is all of what happens inside your head, it's just a bunch of sensations in your body. You know, you get the same thing if you were up at the top of a roller coaster, or if somebody popped a balloon behind you, or all kinds of situations in life produce those same sensations. Okay, they don't mean anything. They're just sensations in the body. And as you watch them and you just sit there and you just breathe, we could call that meditation. Okay, we don't need to make meditation into a big hairy deal. And so there you are. You're just sitting there and you're watching those sensations in your body, and you're breathing and you're relaxing and watching and breathing and relaxing and watching, and pretty soon the sensations just pass away. Okay, and you're just left there. Okay, it didn't mean anything. You didn't have to do anything. Nobody died. Okay, nothing horrible, just sensations, and those sensations passed away, and there you are, and you watch the whole thing from awareness. Okay, that's awareness practice.
Okay, I'm listening to you, and then also other voices are popping in my head.
Of course they are.
It makes sense. He makes sense.
Yep.
These other voices are trying to, yeah.
Trying to get your attention. Trying to get you to believe their story. Right? They're propagandists.
Yeah.
Right? They're trying to get your attention and get you to believe them and get you to go with them. And, Susan, that's going to happen all the time forever. Okay? It just is. The only thing that happens in practice is it gets easier to see them. It gets easier to not believe them. It gets easier to just simply be here, and you'll get happier and you'll enjoy life more.
Okay, so they might come back, but
or
they might not come back as much maybe, but I won't take them as.
Yes,
and that's not after our conversation today,
right? That's not going to happen tonight or tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay, that's as we keep practicing. Yeah, yeah. So don't let them set up an expectation, and then they can say, "Well, this isn't working." No, I've been doing this for decades, right? And I still get up every morning and I practice just as diligently as I hope everybody else in the world is practicing, in order to stay here and be here. Okay?
So are you saying,
all right, now here's,
could you, yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Well, I was going to say, this is a lot. This is a lot to take in. And my encouragement, since these shows are all archived, is to listen to this again, listen to our conversation again. Mm-hmm. You can even record our conversation so that you can listen to it often. And you begin to watch. You begin to apply everything that we've talked about. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
And you're saying these voices will come. These voices will come back.
Oh, absolutely.
But
absolutely,
they won't come back as often. Is that what you said?
Oh, no. We're talking over a time of practice. And all that's going to happen. And this will happen soon. If you practice diligently, you'll recognize them more quickly. But they're not going to quit just because you caught on to them. I mean, the Buddha was practicing when he's in his 80s, you know, and now we don't know if he was still listening to voices in his head, but he still felt the importance of practicing.
They still will come, but I will learn to recognize them and not believe them.
That's exactly right. That's going to happen over time and practice.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I need patience. Not that my voice says it's not working, like you said, right?
That's right. Yes. It'll say it's not working because it's working.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now stay in.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much, Sherry.
You
I
are so
really
welcome.
Appreciate
you
it.
You take care of yourself.
Thank you.
Don't be a stranger. Okay. Good night, Susan.
Good night, Sherry.
Thanks for joining us, Susan. And Sherry, we have time for at least one more caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, this is Lauren out here in McCollumy Hill, Calaveras.
Hey, Lauren.
Howdy.
McCollumy Hill? I know where McCollumy Hill is. We call it Moke Hill often.
There you go. So I just wanted to share how much I got out of this recording listening class. I've recognized the voices in my head a couple years ago, but I always just thought by recognizing them that was enough. And actually, that this recording listening was going to be all about it, and it turned out to be the exact opposite of it. I've never recorded, you know, positive attributes to myself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it's been crazy enlightening. And the last time I had experience, I really didn't understand, you know, Sangha. So I felt kind of lost a little bit. But now, by listening to the radio show mostly and the archives, I can see the whole picture. And my heart went out for the person before me, because it does take time to, you know, focus on the good.
Yeah. Well, Lauren, thank you for this, because, yes, that is exactly the kind of encouragement that's helpful for somebody when they're just getting started, right? Because it's I don't know what to compare it to, but it's like being dropped down in a completely strange land, right, where absolutely nothing is familiar. So the words that we use are the same words that everybody else uses, and yet you get a feeling that we're saying something very different from what you've always understood those words to mean.
Yes.
Right? And so it's just kind of fumbling our way toward the light. Right, is what we're doing.
Well, and also, I mean, this ego is really quick, because my, the class is coming to an end this Thursday, and ego's just already, he's had me, like, not do any of the homework, because after all, it's coming to an end this Thursday.
Yeah, it's going to be over.
Right?
Yeah.
So I already tricked it, and I signed up for the reflective listening.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. Yeah.
Thanks.
That is. Yeah. And again, thank you that, because that's exactly right. I mean, it's right there, ready. As soon as there's a tiny, tiny opening,
yes,
it's right there to try to get your life back, to try to get back in the driver's seat, right? And so you are very wise. And
well,
I would encourage everybody to follow that wisdom of never let yourself be without a practice focus.
And somebody to be accountable to in my case.
Exactly. Oh, in every case, Lauren. Well, in every case.
Don't you think we were so hooked? I was so hooked to that voice that when it needs something needs to go in there when I move that voice out. Otherwise, you know, it'll come right back.
Well, and what you said that's so important, what you got out of that class, and for Susan and everybody else who's new to practice, that's virtual, right? You didn't have to go anywhere in order to attend that class.
Oh, Sherry, that was the beauty of it.
Yeah.
That was the beauty of the class, was being able to sit in, you know, my back little room and, you know, be able to keep an eye on what's going on in the house and still participate fully.
Yes, absolutely. And I was going somewhere with that, and it completely skipped my brain. The importance of having the support of Sangha with you all the time, and as you said, the accountability, that is critical for us going forward, because, as you say, that voice of the ego is so quick to jump in there.
And I just want to say, newcomer.
You say that, and then I remembered what I wanted to say.
Sorry. Newcomer, how I can see that it is like a sangha. We are connected. Before I was very egocentric, but
yes, we all came from that place. we all understand what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Wait, no, Lauren. I want to respond to something else that you said that is super important, and that is that as we do this work and as those voices of ego and self-hate, let's face it, because that's it's a tag team, right? The ego talks us into, and then the voices beat us up for. And as we move away from that, as we move more into awareness, we have to have some place to put our attention, right? There has to be something to replace all of that negativity that used to live inside our head, okay? And that will just come right back in there if it has a chance, right? So we keep our attention on something else, which is what you indicated with listening to the archives and also making recordings of, as we were talking about with Susan, making recordings of what you love and what you appreciate and what you value and the ways that you're learning to see who this human being called Lauren is, right? That's the kind of thing that you begin to turn your attention to, and that's what recording and listening really supports.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, thank you. That was great. That was a wonderful follow-up. That
okay, great.
So,
I'll,
thank you so much.
See you at the monastery someday.
See you at the monastery.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Lauren. And we are at the top of the hour, Sherry, at another fabulous show.
Well, it was a good time, wasn't it, Michael?
It was a great time.
We learned about Africa and got to talk about practice with lovely people, and let's do it again.
Fabulous. I'll be there.
Okay. It's a date. Thank you, sir.
It's a date.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Sherry.
All right. Good night. Bye-bye.
Good night. Go happy.
Go happy. Bye-bye.
Go happy.